Hello, and welcome to the Cisco Data Center Architecture Podcast. My name is Bobby Guhasarkar, and I'm a marketing manager in Cisco's enterprise marketing organization. Our topic today is backup and recovery. I'm very pleased to have three guests with us today to help us understand this space. As I introduce them, I'll let them tell you a little bit about their role and their organizations. First, I have Dan Hersey, Technical Marketing Engineer in the Data Center Switching Business Unit at Cisco Systems. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Bobby. How are you? My role in the Data Center Switching Business Unit is the MDS 9000 platform and the marketing behind it. The MDS is a SAN switch, and of course, based on what we're doing in the storage space, we can definitely provide solutions for backup.
Great. Thanks for being here, Dan. Next, I'm especially pleased to have Eric Carter, Senior Product Manager in the Information Management Software Group at EMC. Hi, Eric. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. First, a little bit about EMC. EMC really today is a provider of both hardware and software solutions for storage and information management with a focus on information lifecycle management, which essentially means really helping customers get the most value from all the data that's out there, hopefully at the lowest cost and every point in the life of that piece of data. And now what I'm responsible for is really for tracking trends within the storage management market with specific focus on data protection or backup and recovery. So this gives me a chance to work closely with product teams when we're bringing out new solutions and updated solutions into the market.
Great. Thanks, Eric. I'm sure that most of our listeners, if not all, have heard of EMC. Thanks. And lastly, on the phone, joining us from North Carolina today is Shane Harms. Now, Shane is the chief architect for backup and archiving in Cisco's own IT organization. Hi, Shane.
Hi. I'm in Cisco's IT, like you said. I'm focused on designing long-term backup strategy, specifically around business continuance, disaster recovery, and how these solutions are going to integrate with the storage platforms that we're rolling out. I actually came over from the storage group as a operational person on the storage, and I'm specifically focused on integrating the storage group with the backup group and what solutions we can use to bring those together and solve the problems we're going to have going forward.
Great, Shane. Thanks for being here. I think we'll look forward to hearing some of your experiences here in Cisco's IT organization, which I know is quite large. Okay. So let me get started. Let me start with Eric. So Eric, I think many of our listeners who are not familiar with the backup space have heard about terms like backup and recovery and replication and protection and archiving. Can you sort of clarify what all these words really mean and, what are we trying to do? And is it really just synonyms or are we trying to do slightly different things? I mean, obviously we're moving data from one place to another, but give us a little bit of clarity on that.
Yeah, I think you got it. In all of those words, it's really about a copy of data to do something, right? Maybe protection is more of an umbrella. Protection is, protecting the data, protecting your company, protecting whatever these assets are. But backup and recovery tends to be about copies of data from which you would recover from maybe just an accidental deletion or even as big as a disaster recovery or something along those lines. Replication is a copy of data that could be used for those types of purposes, but also could just be used for testing or other kind of repurposing, we'd call it, of data, so that you can kind of get at it in a way that's useful. Archiving tends to be about the movement of data for maybe a longer-term retention so that you can then reference that information when you need to. Typically, archiving is not about recovery per se, but about really the value of the information when I may need it, 3 months from now, 7 years from now, something like that.
I see. So I guess in essence, it's really different ways of copying and moving data from one form to another and being able to do something with it once I've moved it over.
Right.
All right. So let me ask you this. What are what is typically being backed up? So what are folks backing up? Is it files? Is it databases? I mean, what are they backing up?
Yes, Bobby. it's all of the above, right? And the real challenge today is there are files, there are databases, there are email applications, there are homegrown applications. All of these things are creating data that companies want to keep or don't have really an idea of whether they can toss it out or not. So all of these things are being backed up and really backed up over and over again in sort of an ever-increasing fashion. So, you name it, the data that's there in a corporate network and corporate storage is all being backed up.
I see. And I imagine with compliance requirements these days, it's probably even more of a requirement to back up everything.
Absolutely. Even reaching down into things like user desktops. That's one of the biggest challenges because so many are mobile users running around the country. But consider the kind of interesting things that are on an executive's system that somewhere in the company they want to have a copy of. So, yeah, you bet. I mean, it's just really a monster that needs to be tamed in some form or fashion and that companies are having to deal with every day.
I see. Well, you know, Eric, I've heard that there'll be more information created in the next 5 years than in the history of humanity. So, you know, if folks are creating more information than ever before, obviously they have to back it up. And you just said that, you know, everything that is in an organization really has to be backed up. So I imagine that the amount of information that's going to be created is more than ever before. The amount of backup that has to be done has to be more than ever before. So this has got to be a real challenge for folks.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I think to try and keep a handle on all of those things while meeting ever-shrinking sort of service-level windows and things like that, then it's just becoming absolutely insane, right? And it's an opportunity, right, for a lot of technology companies to help solve the problem, but it's a big cost for companies that have to tackle the problem.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the technology. So I remember, you know, way back when I was a sysadmin, the technology for backup was really putting a backup application on the application server itself, and then you'd have a tape unit in the server itself, and you'd run this application at night, primarily because you didn't want to interfere with the, you know, with the production application that was on that same machine. What's happened since, you know, a decade ago when I was a sysadmin? What are some of the technologies that people are using for backup today?
Well, it's definitely shifted from that. That was the method for a long time, but as data grew and as the types of servers grew, you ended up with tape drives everywhere across an organization. So the first thing then that kind of happened in the market was there was a centralization. Networks were growing and becoming cheaper to implement. So we would set up a central backup server that would basically get data from any number of clients on a LAN and back that up to a central tape repository or a tape unit. And so that served us well for quite some time. But again, certain clients and the amount of data on these host servers or these clients, again, grew so large that pulling that information across a LAN also became an issue. So we then came to a point where LAN-free backup was rolled out into the market, which really means data movement over storage area network. So typically, big clients would just go ahead and push their data to a tape drive directly and send information back to the backup server to say, here's what I backed up, and here's where it is.
So just to interrupt you for a second, so you're basically talking about having a second network. So you'd have your Ethernet or your LAN network for your application communications, but then you would do a lot of the backups over another network, a fiber channel network, where you'd take that data over that network to the tape units.
Correct. And so again, additional cost, but also solving a problem, solving the fact that we can't pull so much data across, right? And we then moved to a point where we implemented, in conjunction with a lot of server arrays, what we would call serverless backup, meaning a copy of data was made essentially from which we could do a backup. Now, it would still involve typically a lot of proxy host or server hardware that would then interact with that offline copy to actually get the backup and get it off onto tape so that those tapes could be sent off-site, for instance, for safekeeping. So this is sort of where we are today is all of these levels still exist, LAN backup, LAN-free backup, serverless backup, and are all being deployed in conjunction with any number of storage technologies.
Okay, so let me understand the last one that you said, the serverless backup, just a little bit more. So I think I understand what you're saying. You've got a application server and you've got a backup server, and then the backup server is running the software for backing up the data that's on a storage array directly to a tape array. Is that accurate? Is that what this technology is today?
Correct.
Okay, great. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. I think I understand where the technology is. So, so what's the problem then? I mean, are there any issues people are facing today? I mean, we talked a little bit before about the ever-increasing amount of information that's out there. So are these technologies adequate today in terms of dealing with the amount of information that has to be backed up?
Well, that's the problem, right? The amount of information continues to rise. And so these technologies meet the need, but more and more servers are required to complete these backups, right? And to do it in an amount of time that's acceptable. And really, today there's zero tolerance for slow performance and for downtime. And so, again, what tends to happen is on all of these technologies just means a bigger and bigger backup infrastructure to meet the need.
I see. Okay. Let me turn to Dan now, because I know, Dan, that in the business unit, in the development organization that you're working in, Cisco has been working on some technologies to look at this problem and to see if there's any value that the network switch or the fiber channel switch can provide. Tell us a little bit about the kind of work that the business unit has been doing and what are some of the capabilities here, and is backup and recovery something that the network switch can help in?
So one of the things that we realized when talking to customers about storage networking and backup in particular was that the idea of growing these large number of very big servers to do serverless backup just wasn't scalable, right? You're just adding more servers and more complexity to a growing problem. What we realized is that it's all about data movement and the ability to move data or copy data from one location to another. When you look at what a switch does and what it does very well is it moves vast amounts of data very well and very quickly. So we realized that there must be some way that we can apply the vast amount of data bandwidth that we have in a switching platform to the data movement problem of backup. And what we've been able to do is introduce a technology called Network Accelerated Serverless Backup to allow the switch itself to copy the data from the storage down to the storage down to the tape arrays.
I see. So the technology is called Network Accelerated Serverless Backup.
Correct, or NASB for short.
I was going to ask. There's got to be an acronym. I mean, this after all is Cisco. There has to be an acronym involved. So tell me a little bit more about this technology. How does it work? What's the innovation? You know, is there a protocol involved here? What's actually happening?
So one of the interesting things about how serverless backup is accomplished is it's accomplished with standard SCSI commands. These are just the same SCSI protocols that we've been dealing with for decades now. One of the things that we've been able to do is build dedicated SCSI processors into the Cisco's MDS switching platform to allow the backup application server itself to access this data movement functionality. So we can take data from a storage subsystem on a fiber channel network, and we can talk from the switch via SCSI directly to that storage to read that data and move that data down to TISC.
I see. Okay. Well, what sort of results do you see? I mean, I'm sure that you've done testing with this technology in the lab and customer environments. What are some typical performance numbers that you might notice in implementing this?
Well, the switch itself has a vast amount of bandwidth, and we're able to leverage that for NASB. Just as an example, what we're seeing is that a single blade in a switch can move multiple terabytes an hour. Now, when you look at backup windows and backup performance, this is pretty critical. Of course, because we are doing the data movement in the switch, we can keep the data moving as fast as possible, which means we can really drive the tape technologies of today, which is a big problem for many customers. They can't keep the tape drives spinning at full speed. The other thing that we can do with this technology, because of all this data movement capability that we have, is you drastically reduce the number of backup servers that you have in an environment. Customers are using 16 or 32-way CPU boxes to do these data movement functionality in the server. We can eliminate that. We can allow the backup server itself to be a 2-CPU box just to do general backup management as opposed to the data movement. So the performance increases that we've seen have been pretty dramatic. And of course, if you can eliminate servers in your environment and you can eliminate all the expense of managing those, it's a pretty big benefit to customers.
Yeah, it sounds like it's very interesting technology. And in light of what we were talking about just a few minutes ago with the amount of information growing, therefore the need to back up that information, therefore the need to do it quicker, it seems like this is a pretty interesting approach to looking at that problem.
One of the things that that is nice about the approach of having the network do the data movement is as your environment scales, so does the network. You need a network infrastructure anyways. So the ability for NASB to scale with the infrastructure is inherent to the requirements of scaling the network itself, so that you're not just adding more equipment just to solve an issue. You're adding equipment because you need that equipment anyways, and now we can leverage that same equipment to solve, in this case, backup problem.
Great, great. Okay, great. Thanks for that. Okay, let me turn to Shane now. Shane, you're the chief architect within Cisco's IT organization looking at our backup strategy, our archiving strategy. Tell us a little bit first about what the overall strategy is. You know, what are some of the major applications or major sets of data that you're backing up? Just give us a little bit of overview.
So, I would love to say we can back up X, Y, and Z. The truth of the matter is any data out there, we have to back up. Requirements come down, we have to back up everything. And as we've said multiple times, the data is growing faster and faster every year. At this point right now, Cisco's IT environment, our storage investment is nearly 5 petabytes of data. On the backup side, we're backing up just over 2 petabytes a month right now. So we start running this out, and the big complication is all these backup servers, or what we call media servers, that has to at this point traffic all the data through them. So we leverage the SAN capabilities, but the traffic still has to go through these backup servers to the tape drives. The big key words out there in the industry now: consolidation, virtualization. Well, any solution that helps us consolidate or virtualize is stuff that we're definitely looking at, and NASB as a technology definitely helps us on the consolidation track. We're able to pull expensive media servers, which are all designed around traffic piping data through them to tape drives. We're able to pull those out, and we can use the technology that we already have in place to support our storage infrastructure to start leveraging that technology we already have there to start doing the backups. In our preliminary testing, we're going through and traditional media servers today, backup servers today. Stuff that's not cost prohibitive for us, all designed around I/O throughput, can pump about a terabyte of data per hour. And we're required, to scale out our 2 petabytes, we need to go over 30 terabytes an hour just to keep up with what we have to do. The NASB product from Cisco allows us to do about 4 terabytes. So you can see the scale right there, just going from just the media servers now to the NASB solution. You get a much greater ability to pipe the data with the technology, with the infrastructure that you already have in place. So we are definitely looking at the NASB solution and ways to implement it right now.
Have you been looking at any sort of financial return on this yet, Shane, or is this technology is still a little new to look at those kinds of returns.
Spent a lot of time doing cost analysis of what where the savings are going to be when you go to NASB. You obviously have the savings of you no longer have to purchase these expensive media servers, and that's just the tip of the savings there. The other part of that is you don't have to manage them on the back end. You don't have to have the manpower resources to manage them, to implement them, to continue, you know, supporting a very complex design. There's no need to have those there. So a lot of savings on that side. On the library side, you know, a big problem right now is all this traffic grows, and it was touched on earlier. They're starting to get tape drives everywhere, and it's difficult to consolidate those because you have data in different places. You have data on different OSs. You have to support Linux now. You have to support HPUX. You have to support Solaris, all the different technologies that are out there. And when you start looking at a backup solution and backup servers that can support that, it requires you to put in little islands of backup technologies. And, yeah, they're all grouped together on the SAN, but now you have to have tape drives on each one of those. So, you know, strictly scaling, we can't put just the number of backup servers in there that we need. But once you start going to a NASB solution, it takes away a lot of that complexity, and it really drives up your tape utilization. You know, if we look at our tapes out there right now, just to support our environment, we're only getting about 25% utilization out of what our tapes could actually do. And we're looking at this NASB solution and implementing it, and we think we can easily double that.
Wow. Okay. So that sounds like some pretty dramatic cost reduction that you can get just from the consolidating the number of servers. And then the other point that I heard from what you made was really in lowering the operational cost from not having as many servers around. So that's very compelling. It's very interesting. So, okay, thanks, Shane. Okay, so I think we've heard some good information on this specific technology. So, Dan, I'm sure that the folks listening are probably going to want to dive a little bit deeper and look at the technology, perhaps look at some testing or any kind of white papers that are out there. Is there anything that you can point the listeners to get some more information?
So there's two things that I'd like to point the listeners to. First of all, you can go to Cisco.com, and if you go Cisco.com/go/storage, you can get general information on Cisco's storage networking solutions. There's also a great white paper by the Enterprise Strategy Group, or ESG, that actually documents and profiles the benefits of NASB. They did independent performance analysis on NASB, and it shows a dramatic decrease in the number of backup servers that customers will require. So that's also a great resource as well.
Okay, great. Thanks. And let me turn to Eric here and ask Eric, is there a specific resource that you can point our listeners to on the EMC's webpage that they can go to for more information on backup and network accelerator serverless backup? Wow, it's a mouthful just to say it again.
Yeah, I would recommend a visit to emc.com and to software.emc.com. And look for information on the networker solution, because we've tied this software backup and recovery solution right into the NASB, Cisco NASB solution. So there is information there that you can find about how that works and about our implementation.
Okay, great. Okay, that brings us to a close. I want to thank our three guests for joining us today. And as always, I want to invite you to send us feedback at dcpodcast@cisco.com. Let us know how you're enjoying these episodes. As you'll probably notice, this will be our fourth episode that we have. We're posting one of these a month. So again, let us know what you think. And if you've got any ideas or any particular topics that you'd like us to cover, please let us know as well. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next time on the Data Center Podcast.